CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, preparing for COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland. We go to a special interview in The Nation most recently, within hours, with Bill McKibben and Akaya Windwood. Their new initiative is called Third Act. This is environmentalism. This is COP26. But it's for the senior members of our society, of which I am happy to number myself. Katrina, a very good evening to you. What is the third act, and how is Mr. McKibben and Ms. Winwood advancing their cause? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. Well, as you mentioned, it's just published, but it's also just formed, this movement. And it is Bill McKibben, one of the great environmentalists, latest initiatives. He was with founder of 350.org, which really brought in a new generation of activists around climate. Now, this is a nascent organizing network for people over 60, i.e. boomers for the most part, and it's focusing on climate above all, but also voting rights and racial justice. I think it's exciting because it is the case climate has been the arena for some extraordinary young voices, very young voices. We think of Greta Thunberg. What is she now, 16? Maybe she's younger. But there is a generation seeking to improve the condition of their county, their state, their country, the world. And I think it's high time that those who, for the most part, vote more, have a lot of energy, are re-energized and re-engaged. And I think these are generations of people, large number of people who often seem to have gone missing from progressive activism. So I think it's an exciting initiative. And Bill and Akaya Windwood, I think, make a great team. And we will see what happens. But they are forming at a, I would say, momentous moment of crisis and opportunity.
I've read some of what's going on in Great Britain, and I'm wondering if it has a parallel here or the same organization. For example, in London recently and on some parts of the roadways, there's an organization called Extinction Rebellion. I think that's its name. And there's another organization that's blocking some major north-south highway. This is in Britain. I'm sorry I don't have the details. But I see today there's a report that there was in some representation of a group like this in New York on the West Side. So these are young people. I mean, you don't get we boomers out on the highway. That's not going to happen.
All right. You'd be surprised.
I'll speak for myself, Katrina. I'm no longer fast enough to go the wrong way. Okay. So, but the third act, are they expecting guerrilla theater, what we used to call guerrilla theater back in the 60s, it must have some fancy performance name now. Or are they expecting petitioning, online behavior? What is their expectation?
I suspect this is all coming together as we speak, but certainly Extinction Rebellion, which has its counterpart to a large extent in this country in the Sunrise Movement, has been populated by young people who are out in the streets or sit-ins, as you suggested. I think there is a lot more that you can do via organizing. I think organizing is also voting. It's the first step. You could continue to organize and mobilize. But, when you think about, let's say this group can get a third of the AARP, the Association of, American Retired People, people with time on their hands and with convictions that may have played out in a different era, but are now focused maybe through their grandchildren, through their children, through their own lives on what can be done. I mean, think if we could get the million people who in 1982 were in Central Park to protest nuclear weapons, get them engaged. This fusion would be very powerful. So I think at a moment where we witness in Washington, I think it's very disappointing what is in the Build Back Better bill in terms of climate. I would submit that that's both a measure of the money sluicing through the capital, the fossil fuel money, but it's also because not enough people have voted on that issue. So I think there's an opportunity here to bring it down to communities and to people with time on their hands.
I mentioned for activism You don't do better than the report today that Hertz, the rental car company, has ordered hundreds of thousands, I'm not sure how many, Teslas, because they're going electric. Now, Katrina, we both know it's one thing to have people with time on their hands. It's another thing for corporate America to get involved.
No, I think what's happening with corporate America in terms of this is not necessarily corporate America, but major parts of our country, for example, powerful universities, which have, you know, seen endowments soar in the last year, they're divesting from fossil fuel stocks and equity. Now, the most important thing in my mind is it's not just divestment, it's not just against, but they're also reinvesting. I think the market, along with activism, along with political figures and a whole set of issues, is going to determine the future. And I just, you know, I think we see it with the Tesla story. We see it with the growth of renewables. We do see the pushback, of course. We talked about this last week, John, where, you know, the demands for oil and gas, once pent down because of the pandemic, are soaring again. But corporate America is going to play a major role, not on its own terms sometimes, because it's taken attorneys general and other to investigate Exxon, Mobil, the fraudulent claims, but it's going to be a shift point. And I think activism will move that along, but it's not sufficient on its own terms.
We didn't do our fundamentals. Bill McKibben, my memory is that his lengthy and trenchant essay in The New Yorker was about a threat of atomic weapons. Do I remember that correctly?
You know, what you're remembering, it's so interesting because at The Nation, we have an annual Jonathan Schell lecture, and Bill McKibben was the first to give that lecture. Jonathan Schell was the writer, later came to The Nation, who in The New Yorker wrote The Fate of the Earth, which was the great nuclear.
Which McKibben, do I remember that McKibben celebrated it? I can't remember. These are lost to my memory.
But Jonathan wrote about the ecological environmental nuclear issue, and then he later wrote for The Nation, Jonathan Schell, toward abolition. But they were very close, and Bill McKibben has, I always laugh because I love Jonathan Schell, but what Bill McKibben has is the ability to write like an angel, but also to organize. My dear friend Jonathan couldn't organize his way out of a paper bag, but he was a beautiful writer.
All right.
And you need activists, you need writers, you need voters, you need corporations with a conscience, and a lot of different things. But I think I think COP26 is important. I think these summits need to be prepared for and then to work out of. I'm not saying the summit itself will produce.
Let's prepare for what you're doing. On Wednesday night, that would be the 27th of October, you're participating on the website East West Accord, a discussion. You're chairing a discussion, hosting a discussion of climate crisis in the Arctic, Russia and the U.S. Is all that correct?
That is correct. And it's a growing and very important topic, partly largely due to climate, which is resurfacing the Arctic as a place we hope of collaboration, but it could also be of great competition. Everyone, China, Russia, the United States, and other countries are engaged in geopolitical politics around the Arctic. So it's a fascinating topic. It's emerging as a major one.
Katrina Van
It is Wednesday, the 27th, 12 to 1 Eastern time. It's a Zoom, and it's the American Committee for U.S.-Russia Accord.
EastWestAccord.com is the website, I believe.
EastWestAccord.
Yes. EastWestAccord.com. Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director of The Nation, as well as the publisher. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.